Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for hanging out. McNeil and Parkins on The Score. A controversial firing of a future Hall of Famer, Joel Quenneville, happened yesterday. President of the Blackhawks, John McDonough, who said that responsibility and accountability starts with him, joined us earlier today. Max says it's the best interview we've done as a show. Here's the president of the Blackhawks with us earlier today, John McDonough.
Big Chief Blackhawk, a man who is quite responsible, along with some other very talented people, for those banners that have been hung from the rafters of the United Center over the last 8 years. A lot of people forget that on a day like yesterday, John. They want to cast aspersions. Hawks fans are angry. But I admire those who are willing to be unpopular, and you were certainly willing to do that yesterday. So for that, I congratulate you, and thanks for coming on the show today.
Oh, my pleasure. I didn't know if I'd ever get invited on your show, so this is, I'm excited.
You're always welcome.
Yeah. As a guy who has spent most of his career in marketing, I'll ask you something you probably didn't expect to have asked of you today. Is there anything today, a day after the fact, that you wish you would have done or said differently yesterday?
No. No. You're reacting. None of that is scripted. You know, I'm not sure if you're referring to just opening remarks or just fielding questions from the media. It comes from your heart. You know, talking about Joel, Hall of Famer, primary reason that we won 3 Stanley Cups. You know, he's going to be missed. It was a very, very difficult decision for those that were involved. But no, as far as anything that I said yesterday, you know, yesterday was a tribute and to some degree a celebration of Joel, as it should be. We're excited about Jeremy, very excited about Jeremy. But, you know, it was kind of a tough day to be overly enthusiastic.
Sure. Yeah, the pain on your face and the tension in your voice was palpable. I know we could all tell it was a tough day. Any consideration at all prior to making your announcement as to what the news conference would consist of to have Joel have a press conference? I just, you know, he seems like he was kind of owed that first before we move on.
Yeah, I don't know how customary that is when someone is relieved of their duties, they have a press conference. I think independently, if they wanted to, or if he had requested one, I'm sure we would have accommodated that. But, you know, we've been through 10 years together. And we made a very difficult decision 10 years ago to replace Dennis Savard and then ultimately Dale Talon. So yesterday was weighty. It was painful. I was here at 7. Stan met with him first. I met with him afterwards. It was brief. It might have been 5 minutes or so. It was emotional, but it was, you know, it was a very tough day. Maybe that press conference would have looked a little bit different had it been today. But, you know, it was difficult. It was difficult to see him leave the building yesterday, as it was for Kevin and Ulf.
John, what specifically did Joel do wrong that made it worth firing him?
It wasn't any one thing, Danny, specific. You know, I think that there was a sense that we could have gotten more out of the current roster. Last year, it would have been unfair to make a move with Joel based on the fact that we didn't have Corey Crawford for the majority of the season. Marian Hossa, there were some others. So I think it was just over a period of time, we just needed to feel that there wasn't a sameness that, you know, from a special team standpoint, you know, I think we feel we might be kind of in the middle of the pack right now. And our special teams need to probably, in order for us to make the playoffs, be in the top half or the top 10. Unfortunately, we've struggled on the power play for a number of years. I think now we're 28th, and on a PK we might be 22. But there's nothing that you could point to one game, Danny, or one incident that would that would be the reason that you would make a decision like that.
Because better hockey experts than me would say that the roster is kind of what the record is, that, you know, the moves that were made in the offseason were not significant upgrades. Some trades that have been made haven't worked. There's over $5 million in cap space, and that 6-6-3 is about what you guys should be with the roster. So then how do you put that on the coach instead of on who constructs the roster?
Well, that, you know, I think that's the obvious place to go. And I understand that. And I've fielded that question often. We're going to find out in the near future for the remainder of the season. You know, what we're looking for here, Danny, we're looking for progress, not miracles. We're looking for progress. We're looking for today, and we're also looking for the future. And, you know, taking a look at some of Stan's moves or trades, acquisitions that may or may not have worked, I have to take a look at the body of his work. For two of the three Stanley Cups, he had to change out the roster. Eventually, the salary cap is going to get you. It just is. If you have three or four Hall of Fame players, as we have or had, and you pay those players what they deserve to be paid, you've got to make really good decisions on the rest of your roster. So I'm confident in Stan. I demonstrated that yesterday, and we will see how it plays out.
Blackhawks boss John McDonough with us on the McNeil and Parkin Show on the Score. I pointed out, all because it needed to be said yesterday, some of the great things Stan Bowman has done, and you just alluded to roster restructures. The first one, very impressive. Dale Talon did some great things for this organization, but he was fiscally irresponsible, and Stan had to clean that up. And 3 years later, another banner gets hoisted. 2 years later, another one. So if anybody thinks that Stan is simply, you know, living because of his father, they haven't been paying attention. I, too, believe in Stan Bowman, as you said yesterday, John. But what on God's green earth would give you a reason to say, I believe in this roster?
Well, I think we can get more out of this roster, Dan. I think we can get more out of it. And you know, Corey's only been back now for a few weeks. You've got to have goaltending. I think people have mentioned they think that we're weak on the blue line. I think they're addressing everything. We're going to give Jeremy an opportunity to try and get the most out of this roster. You know, we're optimistic about the start. Some of our guys, we obviously have to get more out of the third and fourth line. So, you know, we're just hoping that things change and more opportunities are presented.
You said yesterday, you know, that this is going to be Stan's first head coaching hire, which was a point that I hadn't considered. Normally, you get time to see something like that through at least a couple of years. Does Stan have job security beyond this season?
Ultimately, we're in the results business. I'm not anticipating, Danny, any changes right now. I'm excited to see Jeremy come on board, to what he can do. When you talk about the hot seat or, you know, our jobs in jeopardy, I do not believe that our business is that much different than your business. Your business is about ratings over a long period of time. Not necessarily one book, but over a long period of time. The same is true in our industry. And I mentioned this yesterday. I am ultimately responsible and accountable for this. You have to be. That's the nature of this business. We've had a heck of a run here. And I think that, you know, I'm very optimistic about the future of this franchise. But I'm optimistic about Stan's future as well. I can't crystal ball this right now. You know, I really can't. I can't crystal ball my future. Rocky might have to make some tough decisions going forward as well. We don't sit back and lean on the three Stanley Cups. We don't talk about that here.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean anything. In my rearview mirror, I can't see 2015. So I think time will tell on all of this, but I support Stan.
How much autonomy does Jeremy have? Is it his team completely?
Completely. It's his team completely.
No Barry Smith working on the power play with him?
Well, they've worked together. They worked together last year in Rockford. Mm-hmm. And Barry as a consultant and assistant and part of our development group. Jeremy has a very good relationship with Barry. And that's one of Barry's areas of expertise, where he worked with Scotty for so many years in Detroit. And we'll see how that goes. But he has the ability, Jeremy has the ability, to bring on any assistance that he chooses or dismiss any assistance that he chooses.
In terms of, you said yesterday, you know, the move was I think you said salvage the season and playoff expectations. What path to the playoffs do you see with this team as currently constructed?
Winning. You know, winning. When you start the season, when you play five overtime games to start the season, you're on the razor's edge every day. So it would be, when you say the path, I think the path is going to be to get on a decent run. Hopefully the team is healthy. Some of these players that we have high expectations for perform. And I think that's the same path that any team has.
In the process of the remodel, as you call it, John, more unpopular decisions await you. You're prepared for that, I assume. Superstar players whose numbers will hang in the rafters someday. They've had no trade clauses, most of them. But I assume you're willing to part company with guys who have been a huge part of the success if it makes your team better.
Well, we haven't talked about that. I mean, again, that's not something that we've really spent a lot of time on, about, you know, moving players that have played a major part of three Stanley Cup championships. You know, I think all of this has happened. It's come together rather quickly. So I don't think, Dan, I mean, you and I have known each other for a long time. I hope that I don't have the perception that I shrink from tough decisions. I'm not afraid to make tough decisions that, you know, that there's going to be an avalanche of criticism attached to it. So, you know, going forward, we'll see. But I'm very proud of the guys we have on our roster.
John McDonough with us for another couple of minutes on the score. Stan dismissed the idea of tension between him and Q. But how would you speak to it? Because there's been a lot reported on that, going back to Barry Smith and the power play in 2012, or Q walking out of a meeting after a trade that he didn't like. I mean, there's a lot of that stuff that's on the record, and it's hard to believe that it was a perfect working relationship based on all the thing that's been reported. So what would you say about the working relationship between Stan and Q?
I think it was very good, and I don't think there's anything – I don't think you could point to any relationship between a general manager and a head coach that you could look at and say, that's perfect at this level. That's perfect. It's not true in any business. The coach's job, Danny, the coach's job is to win tonight. Tonight. That's all they're concerned. Tonight.
Correct.
The general manager's job is not only to try and win tonight, but build a roster for next week, next month, next year, and make sure that we're in the business of long-term sustained success. So if you've got probably two different philosophies, it's going to happen. But I think it's overblown, and maybe it's overblown because of the success that we've had.
Sure.
But you could take a look at any general managers and any coach in this town, and if you could tell me that their relationship, Danny, to use your words, are perfect. You know, the one thing I would really like, if I may, because I know, Dan McNeil, how well you know this industry, I would really like to debunk the fact that Scotty Bowman runs the Blackhawks. I really would like to see the media stop reporting that. It's fantasy. It's not real. Scotty plays a micro fractional role here. He's a consultant. But this is one of these perpetuating things, because Stan is Scotty's son, and someone wrote this 9 years ago. Now all of a sudden it's become reality. Mm-hmm. Stan's his guy, period. He's his own man. But this just keeps on rolling, and a lot of it is tethered to, well, then Scotty runs the Blackhawks.
Why does that bother you so much?
Well, it doesn't bother me. It's just not true. I mean, it's not even accurate. You know, it's people think that he's running the organization, and I have a lot of respect for Scotty. I see him a couple times a year, but I don't think it's fair to Stan either, because I think sometimes it can get a little tough on him if that's the perception. So I just wanted to say that.
John, I'm glad you did.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The last thing I had, John, you know, you're a marketing guy. You know about selling a product, and we all know that winning takes care of attendance. But are you worried about interest and attendance going forward?
I think, Danny, I have an obligation to be worried about everything. I'm concerned that, you know, we can't just bank on the fact that because we've had a great decade, that the 460 sellouts in a row are just going to automatically continue. We're going to do everything we can to make that happen. The greatest marketing idea of all time is winning, period, by far. And we realize they don't necessarily just come for the anthem, they don't come for the in-game entertainment, and that this is a great sport to see in person. They want to walk out of that building on any given night seeing a win. And, you know, for the better part of the time that we've all been here, that has been the case. Two years ago, we had the best record in the Western Conference. So it's not that far removed. But we recognize here we had been off the map. We had been off the map for decades. We had been a rumor. So the fact that we're talking about this today, unfortunately, it has to come with the discussion about the dismissal of Joel. You know, we recognize the task at hand.
President of the Blackhawks, John McDonough, with us on The Score.
I am optimistic, too, that we will have Joel Quenneville on the show, hopefully by week's conclusion. I can't make any promises on that, but my guy who's close to Joel is doing everything he can.
That'd be great.
Yeah, always had a good relationship with Joel and had a tremendous amount of respect for him, both as a guy and as a hockey coach.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure, I believe the Hawks when they say that he took it well and professionally, and it was emotional. Like, I thought he was shocked. There's been so much talk about all of it and hockey coaches turnovers. I'd be surprised if he was shocked.
Joel?
Yeah.
Joel was expecting it last year. You might remember me saying that
to you.
You
said that.
With one vocal cord, that he was expecting to be popped before last year concluded or right after last year. He wasn't expecting to be retained.
So that
from an unimpeachable source.
I believe you. I believe you. It's just, so, but then when you get to start the year and you start hot and then it's five games, like
what happened?
Exactly. I wonder how he's taking it and what his plan is going forward. I'd love to talk to him. Scott Boras does a State of the Union at the winter meetings and the GM meetings. He represents so many big prospects and players across baseball, including Bryce Harper and Addison Russell. He spoke on both. You'll hear from the super agent next on The Score.
I loved Bill Clinton. I learned to play his campaign song on the piano. It was Don't Stop by Fleetwood Mac. From Rumors, an album written by and for people cheating on each other.
John Mulaney on Fleetwood Mac. Be caller 6 and win a pair of tickets to see Fleetwood Mac at the United Center on March 1st. Our contest line, 312-591-6700. 312-591-6700. Sixth caller gets the pair of tickets.
Hey, production meeting on the air real fast. Do we have the ability when we give away these tickets anytime down the road to do it in the form of a trivia question or something like that, so a true fan of an artist or event will, so they actually get used by someone?
I've asked Tanny. The feedback I normally get is that the legalese is very particular.
Yeah, if they're doing a text solicitation only, we can only do that. Like, I think it depends on what contest and what tickets, what giveaway we're doing.
So but it's a case that by one, case basis.
Yeah, that one, I was like, all right, let's do something different with it, not just, you know, give it away as a throwaway. Let's try to make pump it up a little bit.
That's
you know?
Good hustle on your part, Danny.
Oh,
I like that.
Thanks.
Yeah, I like that. All right.
So it varies, I think. Let's ask when we get something new, I think.
Okay.
Perfect. That'll change in 2019.
Sounds good. Bottom of the hour on the score, brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Chicago Wolves fun fact. Forward Brooks Macek leads the AHL in goals scored with 12 in only 11 games. The Wolves return to Allstate Arena Saturday at 7 to face the Rockford IceHogs in an Illinois Lottery Cup game. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. We got a lot to do here. The Score's production team, Keith and Digital, Brian Gertz, who does our Facebook stream, and I'm sure many other people were involved. There is a 6-minute-plus edited video with audio, super cuts in it, close-ups, the pregame stretching of perfect. Shep's Walk of Fame.
That's really perfect. If only the segment would have run just 6:30.
Yeah, it went a little long. It wasn't our best.
I don't know why we started it in the lobby, but we did.
We took a swing.
Yeah, I know.
We took a swing.
I'm all for that. I say roll it all out there. You know me. If it sucks, we won't do it again or we'll tweak it.
That's right. And
but something tells me Shep will make a stupid bet again. So
me too. I think he liked it. And if you watch the beginning of this video, he's hamming it up for the camera.
Like he's trying to. Yes.
Yeah. So check it out. Judge for yourself. And like I said, take screenshots off the video and make them your Twitter picture. And it would just be horrible if every time Shep tweeted something into the future, like promoting shows and appearances or sports thoughts, if you guys inundated him with replies of himself in spandex and a Batman costume for children. It'd just be a terrible thing. We wouldn't want that.
Yeah, that would be bad.
For our guy Shep.
Right.
It's a bad idea.
It's a G that people, you know, didn't have.
That's right.
Shep.
Well, that was just like sit back and take your pounding.
His Stutter and John career needs work.
There is that. But hey, he paid his bet.
Yes, he did.
So hey, that's the least we could ask.
Stuck it up our hideys in the process.
And that's exactly what happened.
When I farted.
That's the funniest thing he's ever said.
Oh, man.
Doug Buffone, who used to work here, when I farted, when I started interning, I did that plenty of times too.
I'll bet you did.
Before he's prone to diarrhea.
Yeah, that's not why he's gone today though. Our guy Shep, previously scheduled days off.
He's so prone to it. He can schedule in advance when he'll have it.
I don't think he's just wallowing in shame.
Glad you said shame.
Yeah.
Ah, too silly.
Yeah.
All right, you wanted to do more Hot Stove League here in early November. General managers are meeting in Carlsbad, Cali.
I think people would care if Scott Boras talks about Bryce Harper and Addison Russell and Bruce Levine sent this audio in. So, I mean, it might be 2 minutes of your life you never get back, Mac, in a career.
You know me. I'm now all in.
Yeah, now
I'm all in. Yeah,
okay,
I'm in.
Okay, let's listen to
Stove It Up.
Hot Stove Action with Scott Boras.
Acceptance of his suspension, some sort of admission of guilt at some level, something he previously denied.
I think any time you accept a course of action that where there is a direction given, the idea that we look at is that. You know, Addison is getting therapy. Addison is growing and understanding the responsibilities of his team, his league, his city, and that as you can see from the suspension, that there are different levels and there's different elements of conduct. And the learning curve of this is good for everybody. It's good for the league. It's good for baseball. And in the end, it's been really, really good for Addison going forward. And I think any time we try to improve people and have a system that does that and brings attention to things that in a society that make us better on and off the field, I think it's a very positive step.
I know it's secondary to the topic, but do you think the Cubs are in on bringing him back and rehabilitating him and making him a Cub again?
Well, I can go through the rostrum of people of any organization, and I've yet to find one that hasn't wanted to improve things in their life, address issues, and go forward. And I think that any organization, as long as there is a very strong understanding and commitment to learning and growth, that as long as you have that and that is your ideology of wanting to be the best person, player, employee, and community servant you can be for your franchise, as long as they know that's the player's attitude, I'm sure, as in most cases in the past, that teams understand that they've got an athlete that wants to address things and go forward.
Do you think he'll be speaking out at any point about where he's at in his rehabilitation?
I think that will come. You know, I think that, you know, Addison is in a regimented schedule right now and going through this. And we've certainly been in communication with the Cubs and everybody understands what's going on with Addison and how he has been very diligent with his program and his therapy going forward.
Have you met with Brody Van Wagenen since he started his new job?
I have not.
All right, that's Scott Boras with the media on Addison Russell. No reason to expect him not to come back to the Cubs. We'll see. Theo wouldn't commit either way.
I am fascinated by what happens in the Addison Russell scenario. There's a part of me that thinks that the Cubs would be doing him a tremendous service to give him a change of address where people are less familiar with this story and his issues. Clear the slate, you know, start fresh. There's another part of me that thinks it would be heroic on their part to stand by him and he turns his act around and becomes responsible and starts treating people like human beings.
You know, Theo keeps saying, like, we were here when the problem happened, so we should be a part of the solution.
I love that.
I do, too. And he's also not claiming to have every answer. It's really complicated, and none of us have every answer. And so...
You don't?
I don't have a lot of answers to anything. But I don't know if they'll do the right thing ultimately or not, or even necessarily what that is.
I don't know what the right thing is. I think only those really close to it are going to struggle to learn what the right thing is.
What I do know is, from a baseball standpoint, purely, just purely baseball.
Correct.
If they traded him, you would be selling at the absolute bottom of his value.
No doubt.
And so that's not, generally speaking, how really good executives maximize their talent, right? Like, you don't, I'm not an economist, but buy low, sell high, I got.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be selling very, very, very low on Addison Russell. So players have come back from domestic violence suspensions to their teams, and guys have been traded with domestic violence suspensions also.
You've told the story, and so far he's living right, Tyreek Hill in Kansas City.
Yeah.
That's a good story. That's a story that needs to be told more so guys realize, guys who have those issues, they don't have to be athletes. They could be a guy listening right now who's got a temper problem and has been guilty of it.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill was drafted while he was on probation for pleading guilty to punching and strangling his pregnant girlfriend. And he had to leave Oklahoma State, went to a small school, and he pled guilty. And he was a top 2-round talent, probably fell to the 5th round. Chiefs took a gamble on him. He went through his probation programs. He reportedly has been financially supportive of his ex and his child and has gone through the rehabilitation process and, by all reports, has not had any sort of repeat offense. But it still is a tough thing for people to take,
right,
when he pled guilty to it. Like, that's different than the Addison Russell thing. And in that case, that was the organization that had Jovan Belcher, who killed the wife of his daughter, the worst type of domestic violence, obviously, that you can commit. So each of these cases, man, throughout sports, Greg Hardy is different than Ray Rice, is different than Tyreek Hill, is different than Addison Russell, it's different than Jose Reyes. They're all different, and each team is trying to figure out the best way to handle it, because once you pay your punishment, you are eligible to play. So someone's going to employ you. And what Theo and the Cubs seem to be wrestling with is should it be them? That's what they're dealing with right now.
That was a radical sharp turn, but I liked it. I'm glad we did it. I think it's something that we haven't been addressing. We haven't been talking much about Addison Russell because everybody's mind is occupied by Jim Hickey and what's going to happen with him and the free agency class. And I saw something 2 days ago, I think it was, where most people are expecting way differently from a year ago that this is going to be a free agency frenzy that happens fast and furiously.
Well, I looked it up today early, just for reference. Tyler Chatwood was the first guy to sign a real contract last year, and it was December 7th, so a month from now, and then nothing basically happened for a long time. Like, Tyler Chatwood was the highest free agent deal for like 6 weeks after that, mm-hmm. and he didn't get signed until still a month from now. So anytime now, it could happen because, yeah, this offseason should not be like last offseason in terms of baseball, right? There's real high-priced, high-ticket items out there. We'll bring Lawrence in for some transition before Bulls and Pelicans. It's all coming at you tonight on The Score.
Manny, look at this. Pelican play. Come on, Pelican.
Bulls and Pelicans.
The people talk.
The Pelicans shall fly.
Transition on The Score brought to you by Webb Ford. Searching for a great deal on Fords in Chicago. Visit Webb Ford in Highland, Indiana. Yes, Bulls and Pelicans tonight on The Score.
New Orleans, Louisiana.
What's the line?
I don't even know.
Yeah, we haven't been paying attention to our, you know, after I punched out those $2 parlays on Sunday, boom, in a public week.
I'm probably going to take New Orleans because, you know.
Because you've down seen there the Bulls.
Well, I've seen the Bulls play defense, and I also know that that's a place where...
Yeah, they spent last night in New Orleans.
Yeah.
When did you see the Bulls play defense?
No,
I've seen three games, and I haven't
that's
seen
That's what them. I mean. That okay. that we
He's witnessed their attempt at defense.
They're trying to play defense, and it's not really working out for them.
10.5, that's a big number.
It is a big number, but I feel confident that the Bulls can help out in that regard.
Drew Orleans.
I still think because of the Q firing that the overtimes of the Nick game did not get enough attention. Where in the first overtime, like Zach LaVine scored every point in the second overtime and was remarkable.
We had guys stepping out of bounds
five times.
That's the inline. That's the sideline. I'm out of bounds again.
Three times for the Bulls, twice for the Knicks, one overtime.
That's a reason for me to watch it eventually, just to see this, because I'm so titillated by the badness of it. I was out for dinner with Terry on Monday night and didn't watch it. I still haven't deleted it for these reasons.
I'm telling you.
Hey, you know, fun bad. That's entering fun bad territory.
You can go ahead and
knock
that off the DVR.
I want to see at least a couple, half a dozen of these miscues.
It was fun, man. What's going on, Lawrence? How you doing?
I'm doing really well. I thought you guys did a really good interview with John McDonough.
Oh, thanks.
I was listening to it on the train in, and there's a portion of it that I want to bring back. And I'll ask you guys one of the questions that I want to ask the listener. How big a deal is the Q firing? And here's what I mean by that. If obviously he is a beloved coach, but I'm getting the sense from my social media, listening to The Score, that people are like, yeah, it kind of sucks that they fired him, but it was probably time for him to go. Is that the right read on this? Because I feel like if it were another, there's still White Sox fans that are mad that Ozzie was fired. Like,
that's
still
unfortunate.
I don't know if
that
they're...
That was late.
Probably, but I don't know if they're...
Traded, by the way, not fired, right?
Right. Forcibly traded to the Miami... Were they the Florida Marlins still then, or were they the Miami Marlins? Or was that part of the...
I think they were still Florida.
Was that
they?
Part of the rebranding?
I thought the rebranding happened at the same time. Like, Ozzie was there when
too.
They became the Miami Marlins.
Now we're the Miami Marlins.
I like where you're going with this, though. How much bigness ultimately does this have? Because it sure felt like a very important pillar of this franchise's resurrection was just knocked down yesterday.
Yes, and someone who... Even if you're not necessarily a crazy Hawks fan, people liked Joel Quenneville because mm-hmm. Joel Quenneville won. And it was almost met with And maybe that is the appropriate way that it should be met with. I like, and one of the things I want to bring back is that I like that you guys pushed McDonough on, well, wait a minute. if we're talking about cups and teams being champions, understand... Last I checked, Joel was the coach of those two teams and then the coach of the other team that Stan wasn't really a part of. And I was not satisfied with John's answer on that because it seemed like a really weird way to try to separate the two. And so I want to explore that. I want to kind of workshop it out with Hawks fans and, you know, Chicago sports fans, because I think if this had been any other franchise, the reaction wouldn't be as muted. Is muted the right word?
I think muted for the casual fan. I think really ardent Blackhawks fans had strong emotional reactions to it yesterday.
Well, and I was thinking, Is any Cubs fan going to be floored if they fire Joe Maddon?
Well, they're already kind of setting the... You know, like, you're already...
That's probably why Hawks fans know. Like, this has been primed, right? Even if they're not saying it as publicly as Theo's saying it. Man, some of this reporting on Stan and Joel goes back to 2012? Like we've known that there's trouble in paradise for a long time.
I actually broached that subject with Fells last night, and I said, look, I'm not a hockey expert. I love the game. I occasionally go cover one. I knew that there was beef.
Right.
So if I knew, then everyone who covers the team knows, and the players probably know. It can't. I don't believe them when they say that there wasn't any problem. And there can be a problem. It's just I don't believe that they are trying to sell us that the GM and the coach were on the same page when it seemed clear from the usage of players that the GM provided the coach that they weren't on the same page.
I want to pick up on this tomorrow when we're back together again regarding Maddon and how it's his eventual firing will be perceived. Same topic. We're out of time for now.
Yeah, no, there's
what
a ton.
What time did you get home? 1 o'clock in the morning? 2?
11:30, I made it back. I made pretty good time.
Yeah,
really
good time.
I'm one of those. But I mean, there was construction basically from DeKalb to North Aurora, so that slowed things down a taste.
Man. More time with less.
No, Shep. Shep last night.
Oh, Shep, right.
Yeah. Shep
fresh off his run.
And the runs.
Check out that video. 670thescore.com.
Don't check out that video.
Yeah, but thank you to Brian Gertz and the digital team for putting it together.
Trust us on what the video is.
Agree.
You don't need to see that.
But reward their hard work. At least give the link a click. And then shield your eyes.
Yeah, big Thursday tomorrow. They all are with Brent Musburger and Wani.
That's true. And
this could be a very big week with you guys with Brent Musburger.
Yeah, his Twitter fingers. I wouldn't have done it.
I ran into O.J. Simpson the other night. How about that?
Eli will be in for Shep again tomorrow. Eli, great job as always.
He's a Cajun.
Tanny, fantastic. Thank you to John McDonough, Bruce Levine. Just do a spit take.
Yeah, he's a Cajun.
He's the best.
He's a Cajun. We had Grody, we had Bruce, we had McDonough. I'm pretty sure that's it. He's Dan McNeil. I'm Danny Parkins. Lawrence is coming up next. We're McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.